Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and click radio show. You can visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and just click radio show. You can also find us by searching Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on anchor.fm, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Welcome to today's show. This is Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. I'm here today with my guest host, the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones.
Hey,
what's going on, Dr. Jones?
Not so much. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing great. I am excited about today's show.
Yeah, because this is the first episode of Strictly Podcast.
Oh, that too.
Yeah, this is it?
Yeah.
Did we make it?
Yeah, this is the first episode of Strictly Podcast.
Ooh.
100% podcast.
100%.
Yeah. And it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
So we want to see if we can make this a magical show, a great show.
Love it.
And it's different today as far as what we're going to do on the grill.
Okay.
And we are talking about grilling today. So grilling is high and
fast.
There you go.
Ha ha.
Man, check. Dr. Joe, check. Yeah. Yeah, that was a little test. He got it correct. Ooh. Yeah, you get a gold star.
Yay, cool.
Gold star for Dr. Jones.
I'm heading to that diploma soon.
So, I mean, this might be surprising to a lot of our guests, but today we're going to talk about grilling salad.
What?
Yes, we're going to have a grilled salad.
Really?
And we're going to post a picture on our website of a beautiful grilled salad, but that's what we're going to talk about today. And we have a fantastic guest on the second part of the show.
Who we got?
We have Dean Greenberg.
Uh-oh.
Dean is the president and founder of Greenberg Financial Group. Uh-huh. He is the host of Money Matters, which is a long-running financial radio show.
How long?
30 years.
30 years?
30 years.
What?
Yeah. It runs on KNST. It's been on there for 30 years. He is also and was also the owner of the beloved restaurant Shlomo and Vito's.
So good place.
New York delicatessen and pizza kitchen. Oh. I know a bunch of folks that just were heartbroken when they closed their doors back in 2017, but they had some fantastic food. And also Dean, he also gives back. He's been a coach. He's a football coach now. He's coached a lot of different sports, and he does a lot to help the children and give folks a second chance. So we look forward to our conversation with Dean on the second half of the show. So make sure you hang in there with us, okay?
Sounds good.
But for now, why don't we just go ahead and get into grilling salad?
Okay. So, I'm quite confused by grilling and salad together.
Yeah, it sort of seems like an oxymoron. I mean, it's sort of like where you're taking vegetables and, you know, you're throwing them on a hot grill.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like, it wouldn't be so good.
Right.
That you're going to have a bunch of shriveled up vegetables. And,
exactly. But how am I going to marinate a salad?
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to marinate that the day before?
Like, yeah. But
what do I do?
But we don't have to marinate.
Okay,
so I'm going to talk about, I'm going to let you know here how we're going to get it done.
All right.
And the first thing, okay, so we're talking about prep. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do, what do we want to put on the grill? And I'll tell you about the things that I like to put on the grill, the kind of vegetables I like to put on the grill. And that's what I'm going to tell you about how to do this, and that is, one is portobello mushrooms. Ooh. And the thing about this, and before I get into that, the thing about it is, a lot of us pit masters have friends that are vegetarians.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're vegan.
Oh, yeah.
And you still want them to come to the barbecue, invite them to the barbecue.
Yeah.
So this is a way to have like a hearty salad. Mm. Now, I'm not talking about a bunch of iceberg lettuce salad that doesn't have very much nutritional value. I'm talking about a hearty salad that somebody's going to feel like they really had a meal. You know, they're going to feel like, wow, like they were really like eating barbecue or something like that. So,
yeah.
So one of the things we want to start at, these are the ingredients we're going to use today as far as the vegetables. We're going to use portobello mushrooms.
Okay.
And we're going to take the big ones, the big portobello mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'd say probably about 4 inches across, 4 to 5 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
And so we're going to use portobello mushrooms and we're going to use eggplant.
Mm.
Right. So those are two hearty kinds of. Mm. Yeah. So like I said, you take a big disc portobello mushroom.
Yeah.
I take a nice sized eggplant.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to have some romaine lettuce.
Okay.
And you could use either red bell peppers or whatever type of bell pepper you like. And we're going to use some sweet onion.
Oh.
And we're also going to use cucumber.
Right.
So the thing is, as you prepare the vegetables, one of the things you want to do is like I said, you get a nice sized disc. Mm-hmm. Portobello mushroom. So we're going to take the eggplant.
Right.
And we're going to lay it down and we're just going to slice it into discs. They're going to be about a half inch in size disc or like little eggplant steaks.
Okay.
Right,
got it.
Right, right. Yeah. And so you're going to cut those eggplants in about half inch discs. And so you have your eggplant and you've got your portobello mushrooms. And like I said, these are two hearty vegetables. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with your onions. You're going to take your yellow onion and then same thing. You're going to slice that yellow onion. And it could be about, maybe a third inch or something, quarter inch slices for the onions. So you get your onions all sliced up and you get your pepper sliced. And you're going to, same thing, you're going to be cutting the peppers, the bell peppers, the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And then cucumbers. I'm saying that you want your cucumbers at least an inch thick.
Wow. Okay.
When you cut the slices of cucumber. Okay. Because you want all these vegetables to still be juicy, but we're going to get some nice grill marks on them. And they're still going to be crunchy, but they're going to be more al dente.
Ooh.
You know, still have a little crunch to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a beautiful salad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you do. That's how you prep all the vegetables.
Okay.
And you get the vegetables ready. And so you can sit those and let them sit aside there.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to prepare. It's two things we're going to do. So we're going to put together a little spray. We never talked about like a little spritz or spray to use when we're grilling.
Right.
And so we're going to get a nice spray bottle. And this is your spray bottle that you only use for grilling.
Okay.
You only use for seasoning.
Do not put it anywhere else.
Yeah, so you get your nice spray bottle.
Uh-huh.
And then so you want to take like a bowl of hot water, maybe about a half a cup of hot water. You can just heat it up in the microwave. And then we're going to take some fresh thyme and some fresh rosemary, and we're going to drop it in the water, and then we're going to cover that and just let it sit.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to sit. Yeah.
How long is it going to sit for?
Let's sit for about 30 minutes or
okay.
so. And it's sitting in that hot water. So what we're going to do with that is we're going to put it in the spray bottle. And then once it's in there, we're going to strain it.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to strain it really good because you don't want any of the particles clogging up the sprayer.
Right.
So you want to make sure you get all of that you strain it and there's only liquid that you're going to put in the bottle.
Okay.
But what you've just done is you've infused that water with the thyme and the other stuff. Yeah, so you've infused it with the thyme and rosemary.
Yeah.
Right. So then you take it, you strain it, and you put it in the spray bottle.
Okay.
And then you just add a little bit more water. So okay. What's going to happen when we throw those vegetables on there, mm-hmm. we're going to be spraying the vegetables.
Get
so make sure they keep the moisture. And so then that water is going to be putting that and infusing those vegetables with that rosemary and thyme. And so while you have the water waiting in, you know, that 30 minutes to infuse,
yeah,
we're going to put together one of our packages of wood chunks.
Ah, okay.
Now you know how to do that.
I do. Yeah.
Aluminum foil.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell us about the pouch.
Yeah. So what I do is I take a aluminum foil, like at least a sheet, and then I fold it, and then I fold it again, so that way it's nice and small. And then when I fold it one more time to make it, I want to say maybe half of an inch, and then I fold and start folding in the corners, and all about the three parts, because I want to keep the opening, I want to keep the top part open, so that way I can put in the wood chips in there.
Right.
Put in the wood chips, fill it up, so not too high, because then you can't fold it.
Okay.
So then I go ahead and I fold it afterwards, put a little hole in the middle, and there it is, ready to go.
Right, and you put it on the hot grill.
Yep.
Okay.
And then I wait, I put it on the hot grill, close the lid, I wait about a good 10 minutes till it's smoky.
Yeah.
And then that's when I'm ready to put everything on.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's how we're going to set up our grill.
Oh, that's perfect. That's
so we're going to set up our grill, and it's going to be hot. So this is hot and fast. So this is an operation where...
Ooh, operate gloves?
No.
Mask?
This is an operation where you have to be present at the grill. This is not where you can like go back and forth, because we're cooking these vegetables. They're really not going to be on the grill that long.
Sure.
So you can't run off and drink a Big Red or anything.
No
like,
cream.
Or cream
no,
soda.
No running to go get open a cream soda. You better have your cream soda right there while you're doing this.
Right. Because you want to take all of the tools you need right out there by the grill, because we are cooking it hot and fast.
Best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hot and fast. So you want to have, you are absolutely right. Go ahead and put that little wood pack right there so you can heat it up and it starts smoking. We're talking about a gas grill.
Yeah.
But this same thing, even if you want to use like a charcoal grill or whatever, you wouldn't have the pack, but you could throw some wood chunks or whatever on the charcoals. So anyway, so now you go out, you take your vegetables, you have your spritz, you have your sprayer, and you have some kosher salt right there. And so now we go out and we just start putting vegetables on the grill. And so the portobello mushrooms and the eggplant are going to take the longest to cook.
Right.
So you can start with the portobello mushrooms and the eggplant, depending on the size of your grill. If you have a grill that you can just put everything on,
sure,
you could do
just
that
throw
too.
Everything on.
But you just really have to watch it. And again, we're looking for al dente kind of. Really, you're looking to get some nice grill marks on it.
Mm.
So we're going to put the eggplant, we're going to put the mushrooms and the eggplant over there, and we're just going to really keep a good eye on it. Like I said, you don't want it to be really mushy, and it's only going to take minutes. The mushroom will take a little longer because they're really thick and hardy, but you know, no more than 5 minutes are you going to have any of this stuff on a grill.
That makes sense.
Now, we're going to save the lettuce for last.
I was about to say, what about the lettuce?
We're going to save the lettuce. And so we're going to use some romaine lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
Get a nice head of romaine lettuce.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just cut it off at the bottom.
Right.
So all the leaves are free. Right. So you have those on. You're looking for good grill marks on the eggplant. And then we same thing with the onion, the peppers. Mm-hmm. And then so we're just working all these vegetables right there. As they get done or you start pulling them off. Like I said, you want them to be a little crunchy. You don't want them to be limp.
Mm-hmm.
So you start pulling the vegetables off and putting them in your pan there.
Right.
And then once you have those off, and now we're going to take and we're going to put the romaine lettuce on. And really, like I said, you want it on high. When you put them on, though, you do close the top because you want that smoke. And it doesn't take much for the smoke to get in there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, just only, you know, minutes.
Yeah.
And so then you start taking the lettuce and putting the lettuce on, and then you flip the lettuce. Again, we're just looking for grill marks. Well, when we don't want limp lettuce. And the thing is, to keep all these vegetables cold, before you take them and put them on the grill.
Oh, got it.
Right, right, yeah. Right. So you don't let them sit out and you get them at room temperature. You pull them out of the refrigerator, mm-hmm. do all that. They're still cold. But you take that lettuce and then you start, you know, put the lettuce on, flip it over and get some nice grill marks on there. And all this stuff is going to have a very good smoky flavor. And it just depends on what kind of wood you want to use. Do you want to use whatever kind of wood you want to use?
Hickory, apple.
Right? Apple, yeah. You can have some kind of fruit wood, oak, whatever. But so you just pull all the vegetables off, you take them, you got your lettuce, and then you go in. And if you check our website, you'll see a nice picture of this kind of grill salad. And so you can actually see what the grill marks look like and what the vegetables look like once they've been grilled to give you an idea before you go off and try it. Mm. And then you just take those vegetables. You could put them on a nice platter like that. And so you could either eat these vegetables. You could have you could even make a sandwich. You can make a wrap.
Wow.
Or you could just make a regular salad. Mm-hmm. And you could just cut it up. And if you want it vegan, then make you some kind of little vegan sauce, you know, or vegetarian, you can use just about any type of dressing that you want.
Sure.
And so there, now you have a dish for your vegan, vegetarian guests. Also, it's just a great side dish for those meat lovers like us.
Yeah. And so, also, it's a good substitute for someone who doesn't want a bun.
Right, right, right. And that's what you do. Wow. And that's grilling vegetables. And I would sure like to see the doctor, pitmaster in training, try his hand at a grilled salad.
That'd be fun.
All right.
Yeah, that'd definitely be fun. Challenge accepted.
All right. Well, it's time for us to take a break. This is Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. We'll be right back.
We here at Octavia Social Media Strategy support the brave men and women who risk their lives on the front line of this coronavirus. We ask that everybody protect themselves and each other by following all the basic steps necessary to curb this disease. Remember to wash your hands and wear your mask at all times because family and friends are the most important gifts on earth. Please visit our website at www.octavia.social to help join us in this effort. We look forward to working with you. And when it comes to social media, let us help you be seen, be known, and be the expert.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. It's that time on the show to answer a listener question. Dr. Jones, I understand we have a question today from...
We have a question from Jeremy from Richmond, Virginia.
Jeremy from Richmond, Virginia.
Yes, super fan of yours because you have tons of super fans. Wanted to know... about using Coca-Cola in his marinade. He's interested in using some type of Coke product in his marinades, like soda pop in his marinade. I picked this one because I kind of want to do some cream soda in my marinade eventually. So I want to know, and he wants to know, we're all very curious to know, is it possible and how to do it?
Yeah, it is possible. There are a lot of, I've seen many recipes that, marinade recipes for soda pop in the marinade. And I'm sure if he were to search that on the internet, he'd find some interesting recipes, especially for steak marinades or whatever with Coca-Cola. The thing is, marinades, sauces, there is a lot of room for, I would say, latitude, a lot of room for just the flavors that you enjoy. And I think, you know, soda pop, Coca-Cola, and especially
cream soda,
you know, and you already know what my favorite cream soda is, being from Louisville. But but anyway, so the answer to the question is, yes, you can use soda pop in a marinade. There's a lot of different, you know, flavors that you could use. And I'd imagine that the soda pop and the marinade will also probably help break down the meat.
Yeah.
So the answer is, awesome. Try it. And the answer, Dr. Jones, would be try your cream soda.
Sounds like it's like trial and error in the test kitchen. At least that's what's happening with me. It's a lot of trial and a lot of error in the test kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. You know, you just have to be willing to take a chance. Yeah. And long as you don't introduce something to your guest that you haven't tried out before, you'll be fine.
Yeah. So that way they don't write a nasty message on Facebook about you.
Right. But yeah, so I would say I think it would be a good idea. I'd like to try it.
Yeah.
I might try it sometimes. As I'm messing around in the test kitchen with some marinades. Mm-hmm. And also probably Coca-Cola barbecue sauce wouldn't be bad.
Hey, that probably wouldn't be bad out. They have Tic Tac, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coca-Cola, why not?
Tic Tacs.
Yeah, they got Coca-Cola Tic Tacs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why not?
So Jeremy from Richmond, Virginia, I would say go for it. Coca-Cola in your marinade.
Do it. Do it.
Okay. It is that time.
Bum, bum, bum.
That time where we check in with our pit master in training.
Bum, bum.
The doctor.
Bum, bum.
Dr. Dun. Andre Jones.
Dun, 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 dun. Hey.
What's going on?
All right. I have a story for you, and I would love to tell it to you in story form.
In story form. All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So it was the day before the weekend, and all through my house, there was absolutely no food.
No food. Yeah.
So I had to go grocery shopping, and on my list of grocery shopping was, you know, all the necessities, cream soda, Gatorade, water, milk, all that good stuff to make stuff with. And on the list, I have meat to grill / barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, let me go see what's at the store. And I remember a couple episodes ago, I talked about talking to one of the people who worked at the local store that I go to.
Right.
And he was all, this is the grilling section. I was like, hallelujah. There it is.
Right.
I'm looking through the holy grail of the grilling section and barbecue section. And I'm like, well, I've done ribs again, and they turn out great.
Right.
Steak, I'm not feeling it. Hamburgers, I have, so that way I can just whip out a hamburger like crazy.
Yes.
That's just basically my go-to when I'm hungry for something and I don't want to do much. I'm like, hamburger.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I haven't done chicken in a while. So I went down and I saw some chicken. I was like, yeah, I can do chicken breast. That's fine. I can do that again. And then I stopped and I was like, ooh, chicken wings.
Oh.
Huh, I haven't done that. I'm going to give that a try. So I got some chicken wings. And I was like, I don't know what in the world I'm going to cook with it, but I got chicken wings.
So are these whole wings or party wings?
Whole wings.
Okay.
Yeah, nice, big, juicy wings.
All right.
So that Saturday night, I was watching TV, and the puppy and I were hanging out because I had puppy duty. You just have puppy duty sometimes.
Puppy duty.
Yes. In other words, I had to watch our new puppy, which we've had since March. And
I thought it was a puppy accident.
No. It was literally watch and entertain the puppy and let the puppy entertain you. Luckily, he's housebroken. Thank God. I was like, okay, I'm going to marinate my chicken. Mm-hmm. Get him ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up some applewood rub and barbecue.
Like, okay.
That's going to be what I'm going to use. Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm going to use. And I open that up and I'm like, it doesn't look that bad. This doesn't look too hard. Mm-hmm. So I go and I season them up real good and get them ready. And I'm like, all right, back in the refrigerator you go. We'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
So what's so cool about my grill is it came with like a cheat sheet.
Okay.
With how to grill different meats.
Okay.
So I looked up there and said chicken pieces. And I said, yeah. And it said 45 minutes low. Okay, cool. Okay. All right, I'll do low. And then I was like, okay, what is the internal temperature I need to get it on? So that was my quiz for the day.
Okay.
And so I was chicken. Like, yes, 165.
Absolutely.
Woohoo! Yes.
Man, that's 2 gold stars.
Yes. Woohoo! Look at that. I'm on a roll. So I get the chickens ready. And again, talking to my best friend / godbrother. And I said, oh, by the way, I'm about to make chicken wings while we're on the phone together. We talk to each other every Sunday.
Yeah.
So I light up my grill, wait for it to heat up, bring it down to low, put the chicken pieces. It was 6 of them. Put the chicken pieces of chicken wings on there, closed. And I was like, and now no looky-loo. Look at that. Because it says 45 minutes.
All right.
So I go back in and I wait about a good 20 minutes or so. And I said, okay, I think I'll go check on them. They're getting golden brown. It was, they were looking really good. And I was like, okay, I want to kind of check the temperature, you know, just to see where they're at.
Right.
And then the search began. Oh my gosh. I could not find my digital thermometer for anything. I am looking in all the drawers. I'm looking in my apron. I'm looking in my pockets.
Yeah.
I'm checking different pockets. I cannot find it anywhere. And I'm like, oh, that means I got to go to old school.
Yeah.
Because somehow or another, my old school one never gets lost.
Right.
So I pick up the old school one and I'm like, oh, this is going to take forever. It takes like 3 minutes before me to know what the temperature is. I open up the lid and I flipped it over because I wanted it kind of pretty even. You know, I wanted it even. So I flip them back over to the top and I plug it in. And I'm seeing juices come out, and I'm like, oh, that's good juices that should be in there still. And I'm waiting, and it's like 1:45. So I'm like, okay, cool. It needs more time. So I close the lid, let it go for a little bit longer. And literally right at the 46 minute mark, they were done.
Wow.
And I pulled them out, took them out, and I put the thermometer, and I got them up to about 170.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, this is good. This is really good. And then I went to the store earlier. I brought the puppy with me because he has to go everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And got some green beans and also some scallops. I love scallops.
Yeah.
And a roll, Hawaiian sweet rolls, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my plate. That was
so
my meal.
So you got scalloped potatoes? Or are you talking about
scalloped potatoes. Okay. Yeah, scalloped potatoes and green beans and rolls. And that was dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it out and I let it rest for a little bit. Then after let it rest, I took one bite into it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really good. Got some sweet teriyaki barbecue sauce. I've been playing around with that. I've been kind of doctoring it up a little bit. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like it's barbecue. It's like a sweet barbecue with like a hint of teriyaki with it.
Yes, yes.
It's like a little hint. You taste it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, put that on the chicken wing. Oh my gosh, it was super good. My daughter came home finally.
Right.
And she was like, like we left to go get her and I brought her back home. She's like walking into the house was like, oh my gosh, this smells good. I did that. Holy cow, I did that. And she had a plate and she devoured all of it, especially the chicken. She devoured it. It was so good. So good. Great Sunday dinner once again. It was so good.
Wow, that's
so,
great.
So good. So that was my chicken wing experiment. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Dr. Jones, you're becoming quite the grill guy at the house.
Yeah.
Barbecue guy.
I'm telling you. I'm like, if my house was smelling this good, that means outside had been smelling that good. That means there's a woman who's smelling my food somewhere. And she must be searching. I just got to keep grilling on Sunday. She'll find me.
Yeah. The whole apartment complex.
Exactly.
Like, man, is that guy cooking again?
Yeah, right. And,
wow.
Oh, that actually happened. I think I was grilling a burger, actually, that day.
Hmm.
And there was someone downstairs and he has a small dog and I'm like waving out, hey, how you doing? He's like, good, how you doing? I'm like, great. He's like, smelling good up there, you making some for everybody?
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So it's something I'm really looking forward to do on Sundays, and I'm really looking forward to doing salad, or according to SpongeBob, call it salad on the grill and see what I can do with that. Maybe I think it's going to be like a burger wrap. I think that's what I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I'm going to try this weekend. Get a burger, wrap it, get some lettuce, grill the lettuce, wrap it in there, see what happens.
Okay.
Test it on the kid.
All right.
See what we got.
Sounds good, man. Try some romaine lettuce on the grill.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Jones, thank you very much. It's that time for us to take a break. We'll be right back with our guest today, Dean Greenberg. So hang in there. See you on the other side. This is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Restaurant, where we have created a blend of barbecue and Southern cooking. We have taken the best barbecue styles and flavors from Texas, Missouri, and the Carolinas.
What food has meant to my family is a way to come together and fellowship. We invite you to come and join us. We are located at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson at the crossroads of Craycroft and 22nd. Call us at 520-745-4746. Come on down and get your barbecue on.
Hey, and welcome to the show. This is Ken Alexander on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. I'm here today with a fantastic guest. I've got Dean Greenberg here. Dean is the president and founder of Greenberg Financial Group. He is the host of Money Matters, a financial radio show that's been running on KNST for 30 years. Dean is also the beloved owner of the local restaurant Shlomo and Vito's. I know a lot of people that just absolutely love that restaurant. And also, he's a football coach. He's a basketball coach. He's done a lot to work with kids. And so I'm so happy to have Dean on the show today. Dean, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ken. You know, we've known each other for a while. It's great to have it. I'm glad you're doing this. And by the way, your barbecue is fantastic.
Thank you very much. And you know, also, Dean, I mean, you, I trust you. You know, I worked a long time out at the defense contractor here in town, and you guys manage all my money. So I love you guys for that. You've been doing a great job, and, you know, I feel confident about that.
Well, what you always get is our best effort and an honest conversation. You know, and that's all you really asking for. You know, when people say it, you got to trust the person you deal with when it comes to your money.
Right.
You know, and that's what it is. And obviously, you deal with good people in our office and other things, and it's great. And,
yeah. Tell me, you know, what compelled you to open up a New York delicatessen in a pizza place in Tucson, Arizona?
Well, you got to start from the beginning on that whole part of what, you know, yeah. I basically came here in 88.
Right.
After, you know, everybody says, you know, it's not fun at the time. When you get fired, you find out the type of person you are.
You know?
And I remember in 1988, I was in the brokerage business. I was a broker. And the 1987 came in the crash of 87, which, you know, once that happens to you, you always remember that.
And so you were a broker where?
I was with J.C. Bradford in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, in Atlanta, hot Atlanta.
Loved it. Got divorced. Got married and divorced there. And then 87 crash came. And I was the only person out of 640 brokers that actually opened a new account that day and bought. And I remember I bought IBM.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I bought IBM. And the guy calls and says, because I was prospecting him, said, hey, you know what? I want to open an account this day. And I said, okay, how much? He says, $500,000. I said, great. $500,000 in 1987 was a big account.
That's a lot of money.
It's probably like a $5 million account.
Right.
So I said, okay, so we go ahead and we buy it. I bought it for some other people. I had cash. You know, I was always into, you know, looking at risk reward.
Right.
And so I did it. So he comes in, he pays for it. We get to know each other and other people got it. And about a week and a half later, my company says, oh, by the way, Dean, you didn't get that IBM that you were buying for this guy. So what do you mean? He said, well, the back offices, you know how they were all messed up and everything. And they're telling us we don't own any IBM.
Oh, my God.
I said, he came in, he paid for it. We wrote covered calls on it. Right. And now you're telling him he's not doing it. I said, hey, it's a big account. Why don't you go ahead and just make the guy whole? Okay.
Yeah.
They thought about it. And the next day I came in, all my stuff was boxed up.
Wow.
And they said, well, if you're not going to stick up for the firm, then we don't want you working here. You're fired. Okay. And I said, well, I have no money. I just got divorced. The market crashed. I don't even have a place. Thank God the place I was living gave me 3 months free. So I had to figure out what to do. And, you know, the first thing you do is you go talk to somebody about getting a job. And I'll never forget, the guy was name was Frank. And he said to me, he says, it was Alex Brown and Company. He said, Dean, you need to open up your own firm. I started laughing. How do you open your own firm? I have no money. He goes, figure it out. I said, well, why do you think that? He says, because I would hire you in a heartbeat. He said, but our business is about salesmen.
Yeah.
And you're an educator. You teach people. You care. You understand. You learn. You're not just about making the money. Even though you've been great, you come up with ways to do stuff. And that's why you're in the position. And so later on, I had a friend out here that I knew in high school. And he moved out here his junior year of high school. And He had a financial planning firm, supposedly, and I said, I'm done with this. I'm going to go out and do real estate with him.
Supposedly. Yeah,
yeah, and then everything they were doing was wrong.
Right, right.
So I basically said, okay, I'm not doing it. So they said, what's your idea? It's 1988.
Yeah.
I said, I want to manage money for a fee. I said, okay. They said, all right, teach us how. I said, I will. And we started raising money. It was in 6 months. We had $8, $10 million under management, and it kept growing from there. Remember, back then, a lot different than it is today.
Right, right, right.
And then everything I told them was going downhill. They started getting sued. They started getting in trouble. All the regulatory people coming over. And so he basically needed all the money, told me, get out of here.
Yeah.
Took my idea again. Uh-huh. Okay. And left. So
right.
That's when I said, I'm never doing this again. I'm not letting myself get fired. I'm not getting showing somebody. And that's when I started my own firm. Right. And honestly, I had $5,000 to my name. And I don't know how I figured it out, but I did.
But you did, yeah.
You know, you didn't think about it. Every day you get up, you went to work.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
did what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened. Things started doing well. We started growing, doing very well. And then 2001 came. And then, you know, after 2001, people started thinking every time you looked at TV, a guy said, you lost money. Call me. We'll right, go get it. Right. So we had a couple lawsuits against us.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I said, I'm not rolling over. I'm not doing this. I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we fought to three. We came out okay. I mean, you know, you always end up having to pay something. You know, 10 cents on the 12 cents on the dollar, I think, is what we ended on those three. Nobody sued us again because the attorneys realized that they're not going to get much.
Right.
Because
right.
we didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening, I said, I need to do something else that with my cash. I have a cash business.
Right, right.
So I'll never forget, we were sitting up at North. North was just opening and stuff. And,
right, right, North. Up
yeah,
on,
and my friend says, hey, Dean, I got a great idea. I'm building all these condos down on 4th Avenue, 5th Avenue, right on the corner there, Sam Hughes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, why don't you you know, get in on this and maybe, you know, we'll see if we can get a restaurant. If not, we'll open one.
I said, yeah.
I said, so I got in on the condos, and then we couldn't find someone for the restaurant, so we sit there. We knew a friend of ours who used to own what is it, old father's place or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 So a good friend of mine said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says to me, why did you ever get me involved? So so we all got involved in it. And so that's how we started going. And now that was doing great. We opened it up. It was fantastic. And, you know, I thought we had a really good GM and I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, we want to open others. So I always had this idea. So I started put it. What I found about the restaurant business that I loved is creating it.
Creating
the menu, designing it, putting it together, you know, and letting and see if it can work. And that's what we did. And that's how we got to Shlomo and Vito's, because I felt that Shlomo and Vito stands for Shlomo Jewish.
Right.
And Vito's Italian.
Right.
So a Jewish Italian restaurant. And it did great. People loved it. And until 2010 came, and then I remember, you know, people didn't have money and we had to discount everything and it was hard to get back, and then food costs went up. And then I finally said quits in 2016 when they said, okay, here we go. We're raising your minimum wage again and then again and again and again. And by 2020, it's going to be, what is it, 12 something now?
It's $12 an hour right now. It went from eight at that time to $12 an hour. Right, right. I've got a friend who just loved that restaurant and talked about the great corned beef, and you can get corned beef and chopped liver there and the matzo ball soup. And, you know, I lived in Detroit for several years.
So did you know Cy Ginsburg?
I don't think so.
That's where we got all the corned beef and pastrami from.
Oh, is that where?
I tried, I tried 20 different purveyors, different people.
Yeah, yeah.
I went directly to him. He loved us because we loved his food.
Yeah.
But even he, we started off, you know, it was $4 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got out of there, it was $7.90 a pound.
Wow.
And you know how much you have to trim the fat off all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I know. I do. I know you do.
So every pound was almost a sandwich.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I used to go by and love the kosher deli there. And I'm a big Reuben guy. And, I just know that the restaurant is really missed around here.
Yeah.
And
well, you're making up for it with all your good barbecue.
Everybody
I get the barbecue for loves it.
Oh, thank
and that,
you.
And that mac and cheese.
Yeah, that's my grandfather's recipe.
Why don't we have any here?
Yeah, I should have brought some today. So you've been doing Money Matters for 30 years, man. I mean, you've had a radio show for 30 years. Tell us a little bit about Money Matters and You're on KNST.
Yep, I think Sunday mornings.
Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock.
8 to 10.
In the morning. Yeah.
It's a two-hour talk show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was basically, it was 1989, 90, and I remember getting a thing from a friend of mine from Atlanta, because we kept doing some business and bonds, and he said, I saw this little article, it was about this big in a magazine.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, try to get on talk shows.
Yeah.
Because if you get on talk shows, it's an up-and-coming thing. And do it. Remember, Rush only started in 88, 89.
Right. I remember that.
Okay. And so it started doing it. So I kept calling KNST. Bob Ritter was his name. And I kept calling him and calling him. And about 4 or 5 months later, he said, all right, come on in. I said, okay, I got all excited. So he said, come on in this date and everything else. So I went in to do the show. And we did the last hour of his show. It was all financial talk. Uh-huh. This was 1990.
Right.
And he could not believe the lines were lighting up asking questions.
Wow.
He couldn't believe it. He said, first time on, I can't believe we had 6-7 calls.
Mm-hmm.
What he did not know is I prepped for that. I gave out questions to like 10, 12 people, young people, said the questions, I'm going to be on call.
Yeah.
And they did. Yeah. And it was good. And then we did, he said, come on back the next month. So I did the same thing. By the third month, I didn't have to give out any questions.
Right,
anymore.
Right. People would call.
Right. So then they fought, got rid of him because, you know, they had to pay him. And I don't remember what was going on. And then they gave me another guy. And then they gave me another guy. And then they finally came to me and said, hey, do you want to do your own show?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, sure, I'll do my own show. They go, oh, but it's going to cost you $36,000.
Wow.
Okay, I said, $36,000. Do you know that's more than I'm making right now? I just started.
Right.
They go, yeah, but it'd be worth it. So I call my parents. I'll never forget this. And I say to them, I said, hey, listen, I'm starting to make a little money. I want to do this, but I need some cash flow. My parents were nurses and worked for the phone company.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and he just retired and stuff. He says, what do you want? I said, well, I can use about 50 grand and no one's going to lend it to me right now.
Right.
And my dad's like, 50 grand? He started laughing. Because we don't have 50 grand. You know the way we grew up. I said, I know. He says, so what am I supposed to get it? I said, well, you just paid off your house last month.
Now, as a father, think about
how that went down. Yeah. He didn't talk to me for 2-3 weeks. But my mom started talking to me, and I was explaining to her. And I said, listen, lend me this 50 grand. This is what I'm using it for.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it. So I had the cash flow. They finally agreed, okay, because I needed to have some cash flow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they finally agreed, and I would pay their mortgage every month that they took that out and stuff like that. Well, he found out that I took some of the money and I joined La Paloma.
Oh.
He went through the roof.
Uh-huh.
He goes, you did what? I said, Dad, how am I going to meet people that have money?
Right.
Okay. He goes, we don't join country clubs. Okay. You know that. We don't even, we've been to one country club in our life. What are you doing at a country club?
Right.
And you took my money to join it. I said, it's fine. He says, it's not fine. He says, you don't even play golf. I said, I play golf. He says, no, you don't break 100. You suck. I said, I do. I said, but I'll get better. Well, long story short, that 50 turned in because I get paid him the rest of his life into about $380,000.
Right.
Coming back. Mm-hmm. And he used the club like it was his.
Right.
So for eating purposes and everything else. So he always said, that was the best investment I ever made in my life. You know, but sometimes I didn't know if it would work or not. I knew I would always pay him back somehow,
some way.
But it did. And so I always am grateful to my dad to help and try to give me the right start. But it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
You know, but so now I do the show. The second week I do the show, I get a phone call. Guy comes in and gives me $500,000.
Wow.
He wanted to buy some Fannie Mae's and Ginnie Mae's. And I just remember that. Then we went through it. And then it took me to 1990, I think it's 3 or 4. So it's about 3-4 years for me to get my first guy to come in off the radio that gave me over $1 million.
Ooh.
And ever since then, we just kept growing.
Right.
You know, and so I used the radio a lot. And
the radio started paying off quickly.
It did. It paid for itself. It made me money, you know, and allowed us to get up to $300 million under management. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're pretty happy.
Right. That's great.
And so now we give back. And, you know, obviously right now it's a little bit difficult and different things. But that's why I've always coached football. Yeah, you coach football. I do.
Right, right, right. So right now you coaching JC. You choke
junior college junior has college. Come back a little bit. Yeah, I did high right. school for a long. I did everything. I did the Pop Warner. You know, I did the JCC basketball. We did the Little League baseball.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what I found is, you know, people out here, they love New Yorkers or they hate New Yorkers. I mean, you know, we grew yeah. up just competitive. You know, right. you go down to the corner, you win, lose, you fight, you don't. You know,
right.
So everything I taught kids was, we're in this thing to win.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're going to compete, and mm-hmm. if we lose, we're going to be gracious.
Right, right.
You know, we're not. We're going to do it the right way. We're not going to be jerks. We're going to do everything right. And we won a lot. We had undefeated seasons of basketball, baseball, lacrosse, you name it.
Yeah.
It was that way. And people just got upset about it, Ken. They did. They yeah. did. They changed the rules and everything on right. us sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I coached a little league. I coached yeah. My sons when I first came to Tucson. And I, you know, hadn't been long from coaching in college. Also, you're just a graduate right. assistant. So, yeah, I know how it is. We won, too. And yeah. you would think winning would be cool. But a lot of people, I guess, haters or whatever. But
they do. They don't like success. And I didn't even understand that. So, you know, I've kind of like calmed down a little bit. And, you know, my wife has been great in trying to, Dean, you have to just let, you know, don't be so aggressive on things and let things happen. Yeah. And, you know, I know you're trying to do the right thing, but they don't hear the message so much. But yeah. the kids, there's not a kid out there that I've coached that doesn't come back and talk to me and all. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of it all. I mean, that's yeah. that's where you see when you see the kids come back and you see how they're, you know, what they're doing in life and they have families and just how you contributed to that. I mean, that's why you do it all.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Right. Well, it's the way you give back. And I tell every right. kid that I help, listen, when you get older, what I want you to do is the same thing. I want you to remember that you're going to give back.
Yeah, pay it
and they
forward.
Will. I guarantee you 70% will all give back.
Right.
I mean, I had four of these kids, you know, at the high school. They had no place to go. They live with us.
Oh, wow.
You know, they live with us. And I told them, you're going to come live with us. One kid I loved. He just loved this kid. And I coached his brothers, too. And it's just, he had no place to go. He wanted to rent a room. I said, I'm not giving it, cost of charging you. What you're going to do, though, you're going to come work for me at Shlomo's.
Right, right.
And you're going to get your GED. I made him sit across from me at work sometimes and to study and do the things he needed to do.
Yeah.
And then he got a better job. And then he mm-hmm. went into the military, which has been fantastic for him. Now he's in reserves and he's going to college and it's being paid for and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. I love to watch this. Another one now has two kids. You know, and he's working at a mortgage company in town and doing great, you know, and unfortunately one of them, and it's unfortunate, was through the CPS, you know, we had to get him through the courts
right,
and stuff,
right,
and
course, yeah.
he went out to California and he died. I don't know how he died, but he's a young kid, 23, 24.
Wow.
But sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a beautiful thing that you're doing, yeah. that you have done. Yeah, it's really beautiful. So, we're going to have to take a break right now. We'll be right back on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander.
I want some of that barbecue.
All right.
Octavia Social Media Strategies is a digital marketing firm that has the perfect solutions for your services. We offer website development, social media marketing, and video marketing to ensure your business a winning edge amongst competitors. We are a proud, locally Black-owned business serving the Tucson area, and we are offering a special for you, a free digital marketing assessment. All you have to do is contact us at 520-777-3540. That is 520-777-3540. Or visit us at www.octavia.social. We are an entrepreneur's first choice to be seen, be known, and be the expert.
Hey, welcome back from the break. This is Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, and I'm here talking to Dean Greenberg. Hey, when we left, we were talking about football.
So I have to ask you.
Yeah.
You know, get your barbecue on. What were you thinking getting into this?
I know, being a host. But, you know, the thing about it is we had a lot of people coming into the restaurant. And they're asking questions all the time about, hey, how do I do this? How do I do that? How can I cook a brisket? What temperature? What? You know? And then I'm like, you know, I would really like to help all these folks that want to know how to cook barbecue. And opportunity came up. I had already been on a bunch of radio shows just as a guest. And somebody came up to me and said, hey, you want to host your own radio show?
Yeah.
And I thought about it. It takes more than a notion, you know, to get it done or whatever. But I really love it. I love giving out tips and all those things to the guests, to my listening audience. And because we're all about the backyard barbecue person, cook and backyard entertainer, and trying to help them out. But also, I think what I love most about the show is I get a chance to meet the guests on the show and have a conversation with the guests on the show. And I learn a lot about some people I've known a long time, but I just didn't know the depth and all of the things that they've done here in the community. So I'm loving the show.
That's good. You do a great job, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
You do a great job.
Thank you very much. You were talking about the football coaching, and one thing about, you know, we got this whole COVID thing. How does that affecting, you guys are starting a new program, and how's that affecting you here with all this stuff going on and with your new team?
Well, obviously, there's some cautiousness that we all have to take. Mm-hmm. Some of the kids wear masks the whole time. Mm-hmm. Some don't. The coaches do. You know, I think what it is, Ken, is you got to kind of look at your life and look at what's going on, and you decide, am I going to live my life and try to protect myself the best I can from COVID?
Right.
Or am I going to let COVID live my life and me do nothing?
Right.
And so I think I've chosen to be careful.
Right.
But to still live my life. Mm-hmm. As much as I can. And you don't ever know. I mean, it doesn't, you can't look at someone and say, does he have COVID or not?
Right, right.
You know, so, yeah. You know, obviously, if you have things that you know pre-existing conditions, you're going to have to be more careful. And I have friends that are in that position, and they really haven't left the house in 6 months, 9 months, whatever it's been, you know?
Yeah, no, I have some dear friends, and they're both about, they're in the early 80s. So, yeah, they've been in the house for months. And they come out to go to doctor's appointments or other thing like that. But, yeah, they're virtually just in the house.
And that's, you know, and if you think about it, a lot of that, it's not that much different anyway. When my dad was 80, a lot, you know, and my mom, once they got sick, it was in the house, going to the doctors, mm-hmm. come home. And maybe they would go out to dinner or go to the movies.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you watch Netflix and you bring in food.
right.
You know, but yeah, it is very difficult. And I think it's taken a toll on my friends back in New York and, mm-hmm. and places that have been locked down. It's definitely taken a toll. But I feel bad for all the businesses.
Right.
I mean, you and I are small business people. Okay. What has happened to some of these businesses, especially restaurants, they're not coming back, Ken.
Yeah.
They're not. And then the worst part that I had problems with is I have no problems with people, you know, protesting and doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But when they are destroying the businesses of small people, thinking that insurance covers them and their livelihoods go down, I have a problem with that because I know I'm on the other side. If someone came in and destroyed my whole business, no one's giving me money to build it back up.
All right. That's definitely a misconception that everybody who has a business is very wealthy and they have a lot of money. And that they're going to be able, like you said, that they're going to be able to use insurance and build their business back. But even a lot of those places are not coming back.
They're not.
Because you can't. You
and know. Then what's the worst is if you're a small businessman and you have a loan.
Right.
That loan doesn't go away unless you go bankrupt.
Right.
You know, so that they force people, small businesses, into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And that's bad.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing that us small business person, your house is still on the line. Your livelihood is still on the line. I mean, in this whole COVID thing, it's just the relief for small business has been difficult. Yeah. But on your radio show, you know, when you look on the website, I see the other folks on your team also participate on the show. How is that? How are you guys working together to do the show? And
Well, I do the monologue.
Right.
So the first 24 minutes, I just talk nonstop. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how I do it. I just do it. Okay. Yeah. We talk about, I just start a conversation kind of with myself. Mm-hmm. And I found over the years, what I'm able to do, which is different than I didn't realize other people can't. Right. I could be talking like I'm talking now.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about my next subject.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking and talking at the same time.
Yeah.
And it just smoothly goes into one into the other. So then I bring on everybody and we discuss the round tables and stuff. And then everybody has a little bit of areas that their expertise in that they talk a little bit about. Then I bring on the guys that we have some people that do insurance in our office. And so once a month, they'll come on, talk about what's going on there. I have an accountant in the office.
Yeah.
They'll come on once in a while and talk about what's going on. And so we just go around that way. And, you know, and then we get questions. When we're live, they take questions. When they're not, they send us questions.
Yeah.
You know, so we answer the questions on the show.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, I know this is not the Money Matters show, but how do you see, you know, any forecast for the rest of 2020 or anything like that?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the market has surprised me because it's been going straight up, and it looks like we're going to make new all-time highs.
Yeah. So I had one question. So,
okay.
And maybe you can help me with this. And I'm sure a lot of listeners have the same question, is how can Wall Street be doing so well and Main Street not doing so well? So when I say Main Street, just like all of us small businesses and, you know, the mom and pops and just a lot of people.
Well, let's let's break it down. Yeah. Okay. There's probably 10 companies that have held up this market tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Amazon.
Right.
Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, all the tech companies and all the at-home companies. Okay. Why? Because we went through this COVID thing and they're all making money.
Right.
They're all making money. So that's where the money's going. And they're think about Apple and Microsoft. They were in the Dow, S&P, and in the NASDAQ.
Right. Okay. Right.
So, when you're starting to see these things rise, it's because of that. But what people don't realize, if you look at the equal weighted S&P, not by capitalization.
Right.
But by equal weighting.
Right.
That's actually down for the year.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a few these stocks. And if you don't have them in your portfolio, you haven't been performing as well.
Right.
All right. And people scratch their heads and stuff like that. If you have fixed income, where do you go for fixed income? It's very difficult. But Wall Street is based on the fact that interest rates are so low and the Federal Reserve is behind them. And the ECB, European Council Board, is behind stimulating the country, the world. So investors get behind knowing there's a stop there. They started buying corporate bonds, okay? So those corporate bonds and all that usually get hurt. They've kept them up so we don't have so people aren't worried about them going bankrupt.
Right.
Or not being able to pay because people are paying them. So there's a lot. They've been raising money to be able to keep these corporations going. Guess what's going to happen one day? Bubble, pop. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So I got one more financial question, and that's about the debt. This whole bailout has been debt, and I don't know if it's $1 trillion or whatever, but we've increased.
$1 trillion? Let's try $26 trillion.
$26 trillion, okay. $26 trillion, man. Yeah, so we've increased our debt by this bailout. Not been a lot of talk about it.
Yeah, well, you must have listened to my show because I talked about it on Sunday.
Okay.
And I actually had people say, thank you, somebody, for talking about the debt. I know we have to raise our debt. I know it's going to happen because we need to stimulate the country.
Right.
Okay? We didn't know the pandemic was coming. But what I have not heard from anybody on either side, how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah.
How are we going to pay for it?
That's what I want to know.
Well, guess what? We got to stop spending.
Right.
And nobody wants to talk about stop spending. It's no different than you and me and everyone else listening's household. Okay? You run up your credit cards, all of a sudden it costs you more to have that credit.
Yeah.
You don't think it's going to cost us more to have our credit?
Yeah. But, so one thing we haven't really talked about on the show today is barbecue or...
let's talk.
You know, yeah, let's talk a little bit about barbecue at the house or, you know, coming up or...
How about growing up, the barbecues we used to have?
That's what I'm saying. You know, growing up. Yeah, tell me about that.
I don't know. I remember growing up. I mean, you know, you obviously it was Mother's Day, Father's Day.
Right.
You know, we always do it. But, you know, when it was my mom, it was always we would get steaks from this place called Manero's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so good. And then we had this gorgonzola cheese and lettuce salad, which was great. And garlic bread and onion rings, and we all look forward to it.
Man, it's
on Father's Day,
yeah.
We went with the Italian sausage with the peppers and the onions on the long French bread, cooked perfectly, you know? And we would have, like in New York where we grew up, you know, all the houses were next to each other. You had the street. I mean, in the street, we painted a baseball field, a 100-yard football field, a half-court basketball court.
Wow.
I mean, and a full hockey field.
Yeah.
So we rollerbladed for hockey and did all this stuff.
So what borough was this?
This was in Levittown, New York.
Okay.
It was out on the island. So, the fathers and the sons and everybody, we would choose up sides and would play stickball in the streets.
Wow.
And, you know, and the out of bounds was only if it went over the house. So if it hit the house and bounced in, it's it was still good.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we'd be running around trees and running through on yards and over bushes. And it was just fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was always
competitive. Yeah.
It was, and then we had the barbecue, we had the street bar, and everybody, it was always more the merrier. You know, bring your meats, and we'll line up three barbecues, and we just, everyone just.
Yeah, barbecue. Bringing everybody together.
What was, what was it like for you?
Yeah, it's the same thing. When we always had barbecues, and the thing is just bring people together, and you just have a good time. Yeah, they come together, but yeah, you're doing fun things, you're having really great food. And you just remember, just like you said, you remember all the dads and the fathers coming together playing stickball. That's the same thing. You just remember all the people that came together that day, and then you have this great food. I mean, we were doing traditional barbecue, like chicken and ribs and those types of things on the grill. And we always had a bunch of Southern side dishes. But again, it's just a bunch of people coming together that have a good time and enjoy some good food. And making memories.
Did you guys always have the same food?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Mother's Day, Father's Day, this is what we did, you know. But we looked forward to it.
Right, right.
Because it wasn't, like, especially the steaks, they weren't inexpensive.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But when it came to fried chicken and all that stuff, we always went to this place called Zorn's.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it till about a year ago. They used to have this, like, petting farm.
Yeah.
With the chickens running around.
Right.
And then I realized, holy mackerel. Those are the chickens that they were bringing in there to eat. We always thought how cute it was. Our parents were like, hey, stay out there. Watch the chickens. We're going to go get the food.
Yeah, the chickens. Their days are numbered.
But that's what you did. It was always like that. Okay, so what do you want tonight? What do you mean? What are your choices? Well, you got Italian. You would have Jewish food.
Right.
You had Chinese.
Yeah.
You had fried chicken.
Yeah.
You had ribs. You had barbecue. Yeah. I mean, growing up in New York, man, they had it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely all. Well, going back, that's probably why I started Shlomo and Vito's.
Right.
I do have an ask for you.
Yes.
And I always forget this when I order, because I love your brisket.
Yeah.
But I like thin sliced.
Oh, okay.
Are we able to get it thin sliced?
Yes. Just ask us.
I have to ask next time.
Because we slice it per order, and you can get thinner sliced.
I didn't have the heart to tell my wife. I said, I tell you every time I like it thin, then you ask.
But we can certainly slice it.
I just grew up everything, like, you know, deli meat.
Yeah, it's like
my
deli,
sandwiches.
Man, really
I wanted. They go, that's so thin. I said, why? Because people don't want a hunk of meat in their mouth. It just goes down better when it's nice and thin.
We used to stop at the deli. That's the thing I loved about Detroit. And I was just in Detroit last year in 2019. Went back to see my stepfather, and stopped at a kosher deli, and I had a big old Reuben sandwich. Man, I just.
Yeah.
That's all I was thinking about flying to Detroit was having that Reuben. And yeah, you're right. And I remember back in the day when we would go by for corned beef coming in from going out at night or whatever, and that corned beef is sliced very thin, but it's piled high.
It's piled high. Next time you go, ask him where he gets it from. See if it's Cy Ginsburg, because that's where Cy Ginsburg's from, is Detroit.
Oh, okay.
He's got a huge meatpacking plant there.
Yeah. But, Dean, it has really been great having you on the show today.
I appreciate it. I'm going to have you on my show, too.
All right. I really appreciate you taking the time and answering all the questions, you know, the financial questions. I'm sure everybody, some of the things that folks just really wanted to know.
Hey, I have no problems. Yeah. I love it. Like, people say, well, I don't like to give out information. Why not? How else are they going to learn? And if they're going to do, you know, whether they, if they want to do business with you,
right.
It's because they like what you're saying and they trust you.
Yeah.
That's why people come in. They say, well, you charge us for that. And I said, no. I said, you know, if you don't like what we're saying, then we shouldn't do business. But if you like what we're saying, then, and we show you a good idea, then I'd like to do business with you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dean.
Anytime,
it's been a pleasure.
We'll do it again.
All right. Now I look forward to being on your show.
You will.
All right.
All right, Ken. All right.
Thanks. Take care. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We have some great guests coming up here on our future episodes. Next up, we're going to have Doris Snowden, president of the local NAACP chapter in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, we also have Sadie Shaw. Sadie is running for the Tucson Unified School District School Board. So we have some great guests lined up, and we look forward to you joining us on our podcast, Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. You can find us on anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can also find us on kenshardwoodbbq.com. Just click radio show. This is Ken Alexander. See you next time.